Hey everyone, I'm super excited today. We have with us nobody but the one and only Sasha Stevens. Welcome.
Hello, Daniel. So nice to be here. So thrilled that you invited me on.
Oh my gosh. You know, I honestly, like, I've thought about inviting you for the longest time, and I finally got myself to write an email, but I never thought you'd even reply. So I'm just so humble and happy that you're here, really.
Well, it was because I looked at your channel and realized we were kind of on the same page. You know, very often I feel like I have nothing to add to people, to what people are already saying, but you were clearly, we're of the same mindset, I think. So if people are liking what you're saying, they're probably going to like what I say. So you seem like the right person to talk to.
100%. And actually on that topic, for the 2% in the channel who don't know you, what's your kind of just quick bio? Who are you?
Okay, my name is Sasha Stevens. I've written 3 books on sleep that you can actually see right behind Daniel there, that he's very nicely displayed. The first one, The Effortless Sleep Method, is the most famous one. That one, that's the first book I ever wrote, ever, right back in 2010, 2011, it was actually published. And it's become huge. It's actually in 3-4 different, it's about to be published in Japanese as well. It's all around the world. It really did take off with a life of its own. Since then, I've started doing sleep coaching, and I run an online sleep program, like an online course, which goes into more depth. Because bear in mind, that was written some time ago. So obviously my thinking has developed and it's matured. And I've got more to say these days than even that book has. But that's basically me.
Perfect. And, we talked a little bit before here about like really getting into some real takeaway, like the really meat of the problem here. So I think we'll hopefully really deliver. And, but I also want to, a little bit about like storytelling. So actually my first story was actually what we talked a little bit before, which was, I've read your book. So I know that it all, like everything changed for you during like a sort of camping or an outdoor trip. So just, you know, tell us like, what happened there?
Sure. It was actually not camping, but it was an outdoors, what we call outward bound trip over here. It was a holiday, a vacation that was set in one of these activity centers where you do hiking, and we did knot making, we did fire making, abseiling, kayaking, all of this sort of stuff. So it was a really outdoorsy type holiday. But what happened was, this happened at the time of it was really in the depth of my worst problem. For what any of your followers who don't know, I suffered myself with insomnia for 15 years. Absolutely crippling, horrendous insomnia that took over my entire life. I was more obsessed than anybody could ever be. It ruled everything for me. Every single decision I ever made at this point was about sleep. What I ate, what I drank, what I watched on television, books I read, everything was about sleep. So a friend of mine invites me to this holiday, and immediately I just said, not a chance. I can't go on holidays. I'm not someone who can go away. I can't sleep in a hotel room. I can't sleep away from home. I blah, 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 blah. Anyway, she didn't take no for an answer, and somehow I agreed. Went away in an awful state. I packed with me a special pillow, my MP3 player with all my special recordings on it, my binaural beats and this and that, and drops to put on my pillow, everything you can think of. I thought, if I need the best chance of sleeping possible. And I turned up there, and I don't want to go into too much detail about the horrendousness of when I arrived and realized I was going to have to share a dormitory room with like a load of other people. I just thought, oh my God, this is never going to work. How on earth can I sleep? This is not what I can cope with. Anyway, tough luck. It was basically tough luck. I had to sleep there or go home. So anyway, first few days of the holiday were tough. I didn't sleep, as to be expected. I was stressed. I was anxious. I was like, not enjoying this at all. I want to go home. But, you know, I was there and she was there and we had to get on with things. And the weirdest thing happened after a couple of days. It was so busy. There was so much going on. I found I was kind of enjoying myself despite the fact I hadn't slept. So I was kind of like, okay, I'm really tired, but hey, this is still fun. And then I can't remember what day it happened, I just started to sleep. And I don't even remember exactly which day it was. I just remember thinking, wow, I fell asleep last night. How did I? Oh. And then I was too busy, straight back into the day again. We were off, you know, kind of hiking across the moor or something, had no time to think about it. And basically from that night on, I slept all the way through, and I slept for the rest of that vacation. I slept really, really well. And it was only on the way home, it kind of hit me. I looked back and thought, oh my God, you slept. You slept. That's the longest patch of sleep you've had in probably 15 years. How did that happen? And I think for the first time, I really looked at the problem full in the face, rather than running from it and being scared by it and thinking I have to do X, Y, Z in order to sleep, thinking there's this massive monster I have to manage. I looked full in the face at the problem, and I could see what I was doing wrong. I could see all my obsessions and my special pillows and my drops and my recordings and my routines for sleeping well. They were all making it worse, because on that vacation, I'm using the word vacation because I know your followers are going to be Americans. We say holiday. So if I say holiday, that's what I mean. On that vacation, I was basically so distracted, I had no time to think about my problem. I had no time to think about it. And I was, because of this, I kind of forgot about it. And this is something I say to people now. If you could forget you have a problem, your insomnia will disappear. It's the weirdest thing. When you don't think about it, it's not there anymore. You know, you can have quite bad sleep hygiene. You can drink coffee late at night sometimes. And as long as you don't worry about it, you can still sleep sometimes. So anyway, you know, this holiday I had, what I didn't realize until later was that I'd been forced into kind of a sleep routine. I'd been forced into sleep hygiene, basically, something I'd resisted for years because I thought sleep hygiene is only for people with little problems, not for people with big problems like me. Sleep hygiene is pointless for people like me. I need something, you know, I've got a real problem, not silly little things like sleep hygiene. Anyway, this vacation had forced me into sleep hygiene, and it had forced me to forget about my problem, and it had stopped me from all my obsessing because I was just too busy, too many people to talk to, too much going on. So I had no obsessing. I had enforced sleep hygiene, and I forgot about my problem. And that was like, okay, we've got something here now. That was basically the beginning of my sleep method, because I thought, wow, something's happened here that's really, this is not a fluke. This is, I need to learn from this. So I looked full in the face of it and thought, all right, we're going to learn from it. And that's really where the whole thing developed from that point.
Wow, such a powerful story. It's just as powerful when you tell it as when you read it. It's
oh, thank you, because that all came just out of nowhere. Let me just turn you up a little bit. You're a little bit quiet. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, so that's basically where it came from.
And now I want to ask this. So, you know, you must have been in kind of a special place there, because for another person, it might have been like, oh my gosh, I went on this trip and I was really busy and I slept well. And that could have turned into another obsession where like, oh, now I got to keep myself busy. But it didn't. For you, it led to kind of like enlightenment. Why do you think that it went in that direction?
Who knows? When we have insights, where do they come from? I wish we knew. I wish I could take an insight out of my head and put it into someone else's by sending them on a holiday or something. I wish, but it never works like that. These things, I call them insights, you call them aha moments, these moments of seeing through something. I don't know why they happen. I still don't, with all my spiritual reading and things I do now, I still don't know why insights occur and when they occur and why they happen when they do. For some reason, that just allowed me to see it for what it was. I think it was because what had changed had been so profound. The change was so profound that I looked full at the problem in the face. I like, okay, insomnia, do your worst. I'm going to look at you from now on. I'm not running from you. I'm not going to be scared of you. You do your worst, and I'm going to see what you're about. And this is something I kind of want to encourage people to do, because actually there is nothing there. It is not a monster. I know it really feels like one, and my God, we suffer because of it. absolutely we suffer. But when you show, when you can look insomnia full in the face and show it no fear, you're getting very, very metaphorical now, but it ceases to have power over you.
You know, it's so powerful when you say that. There's nothing there. I did this episode one time with a babushka doll where I said, like, if you learn this, you yep. learn this, you learn that. And then suddenly there's nothing there.
I often quite annoy people because I say insomnia doesn't exist. And I think people can get on our high horse and think, oh, you don't know how much I've suffered, blah, blah, blah. If you did, you wouldn't say such a thoughtless thing. And I think, oh, it's because I've suffered. I know exactly how you suffer. I was there for 15 years and there is nothing there. There is nothing there. There is no condition called insomnia. There's no medical thing. There's no disease. There's no condition. It's just a set of thoughts. It's just a set of thoughts. You know, I say insomnia is just a few nights when we didn't sleep very well. You go slap a label insomnia on it and you start fussing around it and giving it loads of attention and thinking you have to do all these things and having pillows and special drops and earmuffs and blah, 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 blah. You turn it into this monster. You turn it into a thing. That's what I had done. I had taken, at some point during university years, I had taken a little bit of bad sleep because my sleep hygiene was horrible. Like a lot of students, sleeping on all over the place, get parties till God knows when, horrendous sleep hygiene. I had taken a little bit of poor sleep and I had fussed it and I'd taken pills for it. And I am sure this is the story of a lot of your followers. I'd taken pills for it. I'd read about it. I'd studied it. I'd, you know, tried this cure and that cure and blah, 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 blah. God knows every medication under the sun. And what that did is it made it bigger and bigger and bigger, and it begets, you have this idea that I must be really sick. This condition must be really bad because I've taken all the pills and they still don't work. I've tried all the relaxation methods and they don't work. What's wrong with me? I'm broken, I'm different. There's something really bad wrong with me. Like no one else has the same problem as bad. And this is what we do. And the fact is, it's all those things that are keeping the problem in place. All those, oh, we've gone deep fast. You know, it's all the things we do for, this is crazy, but it's all the things we do to try and sleep better that stop us from sleeping. Oh my God, it's.
You know, I've thought a lot lately about how to articulate this, that, you know, you think that insomnia is a thing and you have to do something to make it go away, but rather it is something that you are actually, like, you're fueling it all the time. And if you don't fuel it, it ceases to exist.
Exactly. Right? It's exactly it. You're enabling. I was enabling. That's a phrase I used in the book. Yeah. You're enabling it. You are giving it power. You give it power through your attention. When you withdraw the attention from it, it just kind of, it doesn't happen immediately. And this is what people don't understand. Yeah, you can, it doesn't happen straight away, particularly if you've had a problem for a decade or something like I did. But the less attention you give it, the more the power drains out of it. And eventually you see it for what it is. It's like, oh God, there was nothing there. There was nothing there. And that, when you have that aha moment, there's no turning back really then. You may still have bad nights occasionally, but that will be the point where, okay, you're never going to fall back into a serious problem. I think once you've properly seen that.
Wow. And I want to actually go back to like a little bit of storytelling, but now I can't help but comment on this one, which is like, that's kind of what I call immunity, which is maybe not a good word because it implies that there's disease, but there is a moment from which like there is no turning back, right? And that's so powerful for people to hear. When you've really seen it, really understood it, you can have trouble sleeping again, but you can never actually go down the rabbit hole again, no. Right?
And that's what I try to tell people now, is that I'll still have a bad night from time to time, but I will never fall back into a bad patch of insomnia. That will not happen because, and this is the single reason why, I'm not afraid of it anymore. I'm not afraid of missing a night's sleep. if I have a poor night's sleep, it means nothing. It just means I had a poor night's sleep. Like I might have a bad tummy, or I might have a headache, or I might bang my toe and it hurts. It doesn't mean I become terrified because I bang my toe. It's no more frightening to me than that. It's just like, oh goodness. Like in the summer, I sleep very badly when it's very, very hot. When it's, we had some really, in this country, we don't tend to have air conditioning because we only have like 3 or 4 days when it's that hot. But when it's that hot, I can barely sleep at all. But these days, I don't get up the next day thinking, oh no, I didn't sleep. What am I going to do? What can I do? What can I do? What? Because it doesn't matter anymore to me. You know, when you no longer worry about missing sleep, you don't miss sleep anymore. Oh goodness, it's awful, because this recovery from insomnia is full of paradoxes. It's full of these horrendous paradoxes. Like if you're not scared about sleeping, if you're not scared about insomnia, then you sleep fine. But I am scared about insomnia. It's like, oh, these horrendous, like, don't do anything. Don't give attention to the problem. But you've got a 12-step sleep plan. Yeah, I know. You kind of follow that, but don't give it. It's, you have to kind of walk this paradoxical tightrope thing between, yeah, we do things to make us sleep better, but that's under the knowledge that whatever you're doing to make you sleep better is kind of like still feeding into this idea that there's something wrong with you. So it's a really weird tightrope walk you have to walk down.
You mentioned that you've done some kind of spiritual reading. I don't know, you know, what that is, of course, but I've read like lately about like Zen Buddhism, and what really struck me there was how they talked about mindful meditation, and it's like you have to put in some effort to get to a place where there is no effort.
This is great. That's actually a really good point, because I have in my first sleep book there, excuse me, in my online program, excuse me, Daniel, my online sleep program, they are step-by-step guides. I tell people that don't call them rules, but there are promises you need to make. Some of them are sleep hygiene ones. Other ones are to do with mindset. These are the instructions for sleeping better. But I know that, and yes, these are a great idea, and they will get you over a hump. Excuse me. They'll get you to a stage. Usually the extra sleep hygiene and these certain things they'll just give you enough light through the kind of problem to be able to take the next step. But at some point you have to let go of them. You have to move on. You have to, you know, nobody wants to be following a set of sleep rules for the rest of their lives. That's not recovery. That's keeping up. That's management. That's like damage limitation. That's not a life. You want to be a non-insomniac. You don't want to be, you know, you don't want it still in your life. So yes, you follow these. This is great advice for sleeping better, but eventually you've got to let it go. You've got to kind of see that anything you're doing for the sake of sleep is reinforcing the problem. And that's a really tough thing. But once you see that, it's revelatory. Is that the right word? Yeah, revelatory.
Oh my gosh.
I tend to be very chaotic in the way I talk. So I hope that this is making sense. It's all just coming up off the top of my head. So
it makes so much sense. And I know we should kind of move along maybe here, but I just want to share something, which is, as you've seen my channel, I've talked about that. I've been obsessed with this for the last 2 years, but this is such a moment for me, Sasha. Like it's just like music. It's just like, I understand why your book made it so far. It's like, oh my gosh, it's just amazing. But anyway, going back to reality here for a second. Okay, so you had that big insight, big moment. And then what was it like the next couple of weeks there? Was it kind of like still some of a struggle figuring out, or did you start sleeping better quite suddenly? What happened after that?
I mean, it's not like that I was cured from that point on. That was just the initial revelation that allowed me to kind of look at this properly. I mean, the first thing I'd realized was, okay, maybe sleep hygiene isn't so irrelevant after all, because this vacation had allowed me to see that, oh God, when I do go to bed at the same time every day and I get up the same time every day, that seems to make me sleep better. Who would have thought that? You know, until then, I've kind of been resisting sleep hygiene. So I started to just create, sort of formulate a plan. I started to test things out. I instilled sleep hygiene, and I, goodness, I don't even know where it came from, but I started to just speak differently about the whole thing. I stopped calling myself an insomniac. Like, that went out the window, the word insomnia. I told people to stop asking me how well I slept. I used to say to my mother, stop talking to me about it. I stopped. I realized that I had been, the first thing I'd do every day up until then would be to get up in the morning, go to my computer. We didn't have Facebook back then, but go to the computer and check on the sleep forums for any new insights. Like, goodness me, sleep forums. Don't, if you remember, stop it, leave them. They're not good. And, you know, I'd be reading whatever anybody's problems were. Has anybody got any new ideas? And that'd be the first thing I'd do. So I came to see, oh my God, I get up in the morning and all I'm thinking about is sleep all day long. So I started to formulate kind of like, I don't know, mindset rules. I'm like, not complaining about the sleep. Throw all that research out the window. But what I did do was I started to formulate a very basic set of rules. And I, because I had all these online sleep friends, who insomniac friends, I told them about them and we started to correspond. And they were saying, wow, this is amazing. What you've got here, you've really got some understanding here. And they started to get better. And I was thinking, wow, this is not just me. This is that I've got something here. And so I wasn't immediately better straight away. I my sleep got way better. And now and again, of course, I would have those, what you'll call relapses, the word I hate. I hate the word relapse because it's never a relapse. You know, I'd still get a bad night from time to time. And, you know, that carried on probably for about a year afterwards. I would get bad patches where sometimes I'd fall back in and think, have I lost it? Is it all gone? And I think, no, you haven't. I knew I hadn't. I just sometimes had to catch myself and remind myself of what I was doing. And as time went on, the bad patches got shorter and they got further apart, until after a while they just stopped. And you know, I got to the stage where I didn't even care anymore if I miss sleep or not. Yeah, it was it took a while. It took a while for me, because this problem had been 15 years of madness, Daniel. I was not in a good place. I was not a well girl. I really wasn't. I was not not a happy bunny at that point. So it's to be expected it was going to take a little while to fully recover. But yeah, like once I was on that path, once I knew I was on the path to recovery, and I kind of gave myself permission for it to take a while. And that was a big part of it too. So I gave myself permission, like, okay, you know you're getting better. You know you're getting better. So it doesn't matter really how long it takes.
Wow, super powerful again. And I want you just, actually this is more for people tuning in here. You know, I'm kind of like quote unquote anti-sleep hygiene, because for me, sleep hygiene means like, keeping the temperature exactly right, the wind, you know, the light exactly right, doing exactly these things. But for you, sleep hygiene means, I think, a little bit of a different thing. So for you, what does sleep hygiene mean for you?
Okay, sleep hygiene is just the basic, let's have a look. I count my first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, my first six sleep promises, which are, initially, I tell people to get slightly less time in bed than they. This is the initial burst when somebody comes to me with a really bad problem and they just want a little bit of light, you know. And this is it'll generally give to them, is spend a little bit less time in bed, just usually half an hour, have no naps, and get up at the same time. Getting up at the same time every day is really vital. If you're lying in bed and you're really getting stressed and you can't sleep, it's a good idea usually to get up out of bed, just change the scenery and go back again. Do nothing in bed but sleep or have sex, and stop clock watching. And those are just the rules. But they're not rules. They're kind of guidelines. You know, I tell people to get these days to get reasonable sleep hygiene. We're not talking about you must go to bed. You know, if you're 15 minutes late with your going to bedtime, it's all ruined. No, it's just to kind of like to get the groundwork good. I mean, people often come to me with the most horrendous sleep patterns. They're going to bed. They're trying to go to bed eight. You know, they'll go to bed at 8 o'clock at night and then lie until 8 o'clock the next morning. And they're doing the strangest things, taking naps at really inopportune moments. And so that I just think is really good to have basic sleep hygiene, kind of just to set the groundwork. Okay, this is just giving you a bit of a, it's not gonna fix it. It's just going to make sure you're on a level kind of playing field. I don't know. Does that make sense to you?
It makes sense. And I just saying kind of the same thing in my words would be like when you're in what I call Oz, you're completely bewildered, puzzled. You have no clue what's going on. Yeah. Things are completely crazy. It kind of gets you a little bit of like structure, if you want to call it something like that.
And that these will usually give people a bit, it won't fix it, but these alone will usually give people a little bit of sleep. Even if it's just a few hours here and there, it's like, okay, right. Little bit right now we can go forward, now we can move on. So that's the only kind of sleep hygiene I recommend.
Very well. And it is becoming a very cool episode here because we're going into like practical things and then we're going back to your story. So going back to your story again now, what made you decide, when did you say I think I'm gonna write a book?
The thing is, you've written books, haven't you, Daniel? I don't know about you, but I've now written all sorts of books. I don't generally make the decision to write a book. The book kind of happens. You know, I had been asked lots of times, you need to put this into a book. So I'd kind of had it. I had notes. And then some point it kind of just evolved into something else. And I started to write and I realized this is fun. I like writing. I like actually properly writing. And I wrote and I discovered and... Yeah, it was kind of a weird organic process, really. It wasn't like, oh, you know what, I'm going to sit down and write a book. No, it kind of happened in a nebulous kind of way.
Okay, so kind of, you know, the book kind of came to you, if you will, it happened. And then did you self-publish it?
All of my books are self-published, yeah. I didn't even know self-publishing existed in the beginning, but that's how I, you know, that's how I discovered it, yeah.
So what happened? What happened then? So you self-published it. Was it like, did you get it into a few stores or what happened next?
I've almost not ever advertised that book. Very little, very occasionally I have it. It's just did its own thing. People found it. You know, there are so many people looking for help with sleep that they will generally read any book out there. So, the people found it. I didn't really go looking for them.
And was there a moment or a time where you realized, whoa, this is really gonna have an impact? A lot of people are gonna read this.
Yeah. I suppose I didn't know it was. I never guessed it would be as successful as it did. I thought it maybe would help a few people and that would do. I thought if it just helps a few people. If it only helped 10 people, it would be worth it. You know, it would, and at some point I'm still amazed when people write to me and say, you've changed my life. This is amazing. It still astonishes me that something so horrendous, so those 15 years has turned into this, has enabled, I've turned it around. And I'm now helping thousands and thousands of people. I find that it's just the proudest thing. I mean, you've no idea. It's just, wow, that was what it was all about. Maybe that's why it happened. I don't know if you want to get all spooky about it. Like, okay, you had to go through 15 years of hell, but you can now help people on a grand scale all around the world.
I'm not, I was always very curious about this, and I can see how it probably will, you know, somebody read it and said to a friend, this is amazing, it's word of mouth and things of that nature. But and now one thing I want to ask you about that I'm also curious about is, like, in bedtime stories, you write about, like, there's some kind of newsletter or like a club or something like that. What was that?
Yeah, that was a way back. You see, the thing is, I wrote that book, I've left it up, but that was way back when I had a reader list, and I was sending out sleep tips. It was something I did a way back. I don't do that anymore. It's just, as I said, I haven't done an interview like this for a couple of years now. There was a point, you see, I got to a stage where, you know, I was doing interviews and I was doing articles and I had this website and I was writing blog posts and I was keeping the email list. And at some point it got to the stage where I thought, you know what, I don't want to be talking about sleep anymore. I don't want to be doing this anymore. It was a bad memory and I needed to walk away. I needed to walk away from the whole thing for a while. So for a few years, I just thought, okay, the books are up, leave the books, that's fine. But I'm not doing anything to do with sleep anymore. I need to go and get a different life now. Insomnia it has ruled my life since the age of 23 and I've had enough. So turn my back on it and started writing other books instead. And so those sleep tips stopped. So all that stopped.
Yeah.
And at some point, somehow, it's kind of crept back in. And now, because I had such a big break from it, it doesn't bother me anymore. It's like, now I can talk about it with a happy smile on my face because the bad memories have faded. And
absolutely. And like going back just for a second to like what we talked about, like, different philosophy, you know, and Buddhist philosophy, again, like they have this term, like a bodhisattva, right? That somebody who sees the light, knows how to become enlightened, but chooses to stay in the land of suffering to teach other people to get there. That's how I think of you. You're like a bodhisattva, Sasha.
Oh, that's wonderful. What a thing to say. Thank you, Daniel. That's made my day. Bodhisattva, how wonderful. Yeah.
Very
it's
well
funny, said. Isn't it? This is the direction, the, for want of a better word, the spiritual path is really what we're talking about here, because we're talking about seeing truths, not just about sleep, but these are truths about experience, about thought and reality. And these are some big words, but you overcome your insomnia, really overcome it, really understand it, and you won't just understand sleep and the mechanism of insomnia. You'll see how all sorts of suffering happens, how you'll suddenly realize, oh my goodness, this doesn't just apply to insomnia, it applies to depression and chronic anxiety and all sorts of conditions that people are suffering with. And the underlying principle, I think, is very, very, very similar.
I have to sneak this one in there, Sasha. You know, I haven't asked people to submit questions or anything like that, but a couple of people, when I told them you were going to guess, they were like, can you please ask her this one?
Okay.
So Andrew wrote this one. Can you please ask her if she has any thoughts on how her approach to insomnia could be expanded to help with anxiety generally?
Absolutely. Goodness, maybe I need to write that book too. It is what I said earlier about, I mean, I don't suffer with an anxiety condition, but I know I've been anxious enough times. I have suffered with depression on and off over the years, and I can see that the mechanism exactly the same. And I've experienced enough anxiety to know that the mechanism is the same. And it's this notion that something happens, a feeling, oh goodness, let's see, how can I explain this? A feeling comes along, be it a depressed thought, an anxious thought, or a thought, or an insomniac thought. And something in us tells us that's not right. It's like, this can't happen. And then we start doing things. We start trying to get rid of the thought, or we start taking medication, or we start trying to relax it away, and we start trying to fix that state that we don't like, be it anxiety, depression, insomnia, whatever. And by trying to fix that, we feed it. we give life to it. So people with anxiety conditions, and this sounds like, it, I have to tread very carefully because it can sound very insulting. So I'm not trying to belittle anyone's suffering, God no, but we all have anxious thoughts. You know, everybody on this planet has an anxious thought from time to time. If you can have an anxious thought and just, allow it to be there and not make any attempt to change it, it doesn't have any power over you and it doesn't turn into an anxiety condition. It's just an anxious thought, like a bad night of sleep. It's just a bad night of sleep. It turns into insomnia when you give it masses of attention and turn it into this monster. And it's the same with anxiety. We all have things that make us anxious, but an anxiety condition is going to be caused by attention to the problem. And I really hope I haven't offended anybody by saying that, but that's genuinely what I believe to be the case.
Yeah, it's like, I literally have like goosebumps. It's like you, my thoughts are exactly the same. And I want to potentially offend more people than you're willing to offend here. and just you can just not comment on this one or comment on it, whatever you want, Sasha. But I think that it's everything. It's, yes, it's insomnia, it's anxiety, it's depression, it is chronic pain, it is chronic fatigue, it's anything you label chronic. Basically everything we call mental health comes from that same place of escaping that which you don't want to experience.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it, Daniel. It's this idea that there are certain thoughts, feelings, states that aren't okay, and that they have to be treated, avoided, medicated, run away from, relaxed out of, relaxed into, whatever, that we have, they aren't okay. And that is the source of all the suffering on this planet. Wow. All the mental health issues are caused by that. The idea that there is something wrong. You know, there's a writer I do like called Sydney Banks, who said, oh my goodness, see if I can quote him now. If only people learn to be unafraid of their own experience, this factor, this alone would change the world. That's what he said. If you learn to be unafraid of your experience. So yeah, you're having an anxious thought. So does everyone. You're having a bad night. So does everyone. Everyone does this. You're having a bad day. Everyone does. If you can let really, really deeply, profoundly let those moments, those bad, I don't even want to call them bad, those feelings be okay, they have no power over you and they cannot turn into chronic conditions then.
Wow. And that, you know, following up on that, I have to ask you that, in my opinion, which is kind of like the $1 million question, which is, I think a lot of people can see that, okay, if I give this less attention, it'll better. If I can accept this, it will be better for me. But how do I get that? How can I get to a place where I don't give it attention? How can I accept it?
This is so difficult to explain to people, because this is something you have to experience. This can only come from your own experience. The thing is, it's that question itself is also part of the problem.
Right.
Because it's like, you have to let everything be okay. Everything. Okay, how do I do that? Okay, but if you're asking how to let everything be okay, you're saying that this isn't okay. And you know what it is. And if you can sit and get quiet with yourself, if you can sit, this is the only how I can tell you to do, is to get really quiet with this and look at your own experience. Just consider it. Just think, what's actually wrong in this moment now, what is actually wrong? Because there never is anything, Daniel, anything wrong with the moment. You know, you can have a moment of profound joy in the middle of, in prison. You can, you know, whatever. You can have a moment of the most profound love next to a dying loved one. You know, you can have these fantastic moments. What is actually wrong with this moment right now? And if you can get really quiet with it, you can start to get a sense that God, there really is nothing wrong. There is nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with this feeling. So next time you feel anxious, for your question, your person who asked the question, next time you feel anxious, rather than trying to do something to fix that feeling, just feel what's there. Actually feel it. Just think, okay, what is here? Be quiet with it and just look. And you may just see, you know what? There's this, just this little feeling. There's a feeling in my chest or my tummy. But when I take away the story, it's nothing really wrong. It's just a feeling. It's just a feeling. It's not going to kill me. It doesn't even hurt. It's just a feeling.
Wow, wonderful. It's like music, and it's like, it's such profound insight. I'm stumped, Sasha. It's, I don't know what to say. But I was thinking we could go next, and after this, we, you know, you can just maybe share some last words, or maybe talk about your program, whatever you want. But one last thing I want to talk about is, okay, you wrote your book a couple of years ago. A lot of what you describe here as like kind of the ultimate way to get to a place where you're not suffering anymore is really nothing new. It's been there. It's mindfulness meditation. That teaching's been there forever. But why is it? Okay, let me put it this way. I feel two things. One, I talk to you, I feel so much hope. Like there's Instagram, there's YouTube. We can get this teaching out there. That makes me hopeful. But on the other hand, I mean, like, this is nothing new. Why is there still so much suffering? So where do you see the world going? Is it going to be still just a handful of people like yourself that really understand it and a few people find that? Or are we one point, or are we going towards the light where more and more people understand?
I think we are. And I think the internet is, you know, the internet is largely what made my problem turn into what it is. But it also, I think, is providing the way out, because more and more people, you know, this is becoming the sort of airy-fairy spiritual ideas we're talking about mainstream now. You know, it wasn't that way. When I wrote my book 10 years ago, it wasn't that way. People, yeah, a few people were into spiritual things, but even the idea of doing meditation was like, not, man, it seemed a bit, you know, a bit odd to a lot of people. It's, things have changed so much in the last 10 years or so that, I think it is going in the right direction, because I think we are moving to a time when this is becoming the norm. You know, I can talk about these things and people don't look at me funny. I've talked about these things here and you know exactly what I'm talking about. So yeah, these ideas are nothing new. These ideas were right back there with the Buddha and Jesus Christ and God knows what else. They were right back there, because what we're talking about here is not a theory or an opinion. We're talking about the truth, Daniel. We're talking about the actual fundamental truth of experience. There's a big term. But so the truth is going to come out in all sorts of different ways. With me, it started coming out in my sleep books. With other people, it will be in a different way. It'll come out in their music, or it'll come out in something else, but we're all on the same path and we can all see the same truth. So it's going to come out in different ways. And it just happened to come out through sleep for me.
Wow. Perfect. It's like, I love like kind of finishing up on this positive note. We are going towards the light. Things will get better for humanity. I'm actually optimistic too. I believe that myself, but you know, finally here, I know you have a course still, yeah, right, Sasha, that's available. So people can sign up for that?
Yes, it's called Sleep for Life, Sleep, F-O-R, Life, sleepforlife.com. Yeah, that's pretty much, you know, that it's pretty comprehensive. It's everything in the book, but plus a lot more to do with the changing the way you think, change the way you think about sleep. And it's, you know, it's helped an awful lot of people. So anybody who hasn't read the book or has read the book and just wants a little bit extra, it's a really good place to go.
And do you do any work now, like with clients at all? Or
I do occasionally. I generally tell people to do the program first, to do the online program first, because otherwise they're just wasting their money with me telling them that. So it's better for them to do the course, see how they respond to that, because that's what I'll be telling them to do. And if they've still got issues, then sometimes I will do consultations with people, you know, just by Zoom or something like this.
Very well. Well, I just want to say, Sasha, then it's been beyond the pleasure. It's been like almost like a spiritual experience for me just talking to you, just hearing your teaching. And I promised someone, like, I'm just going to let her pontificate and just share her wisdom. And I think you really did that. It was wonderful, Sasha. Thank you.
It was actually a joy, Dan. Genuinely fun. I didn't realize how much I enjoyed talking about this like this. It's not often I've done it. Maybe I should do more of these. Maybe I should do more of these sorts of events. So thank you. Thank you for inviting me, because actually it has genuinely been very enjoyable talking about this.
Anytime, Sasha. You take care now, and we'll be in touch.
Okay. Bye-bye then. Bye-bye, everyone.